So.
Well, I'm glad you don't have any problems with anything because we are live now. Hello, everyone. This is another live edition of Spilling Ink. I am the Jason Lavelle, your host, your friend, your lover, your favorite. And I am here with the power duo, but I'm not going to introduce them just yet because I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Bookbranders. Bookbranders is a company that was built specifically for indie authors. And what they do is they help you take your manuscript and actually turn that into a book that people can buy. Everything from editing and proofreading to formatting, website design, just the whole package. And you don't have to do it as a package. You could do it a la carte, which is kind of the cool thing about them, because there are some things I can handle and other things that I'm like, nope, I would rather pay someone to do that. But the Bookbranders is a good company, and they're very reasonably priced. So check them out at www.bookbranders.com. All right. Now that my extra professional introduction is done, I have two amazing ladies here tonight. We have a returning guest, the returning champion, Miss Miranda O.
Hey, I was like, me, that's me. I knew I was returning, but a champion though. Wow, I feel like I got to say, Adrian.
Do that every time you meet
someone. Start to run up the stairs. Anyways, hey, I'm so happy to be here with y'all today. Super joyed.
Catherine, did you notice how much she used her hands in that intro?
I did. And I wanted to say something about it. So
Keep going. More about your hands?
I'm totally comfortable with my hands. So no problem with my hands.
Our second guest tonight is also a returning guest, but she was actually on my other podcast, The Raven. It is Catherine Hudson. How are you, Catherine?
I'm doing so awesome. Thank you.
You know, Catherine's favorite thing for people to talk about her is her hair and how awesome her hair is. That's pretty much what she's known for.
I never said it was my favorite thing. I mean, it's pretty cool. Well, I would rather be known for my books, but it's a start, right?
Yeah, we're working our way up step by step, right?
You gotta start somewhere, I guess.
You know what's okay, so this is it's awesome and terrible at the same time, okay? I'm not gonna lie. I will go into places around town, you know, the little eateries or shops or whatever, and people will be staring at me and I'm like, do they recognize me? And then they'll come up to me and they'll be like, hey, are you? And my heart is like, oh my God, they recognize me because of my voice. And then they're like, are you David Draymond from Disturbed? And I'm like,
yeah.
For crap's sake, really? I mean, I love that dude, but no, I'm not him. I'm my own person.
My husband everybody always comes up to him and says, hey, anybody ever tell you that you look like Seth Rogen? And he's like, yeah. And then it gets to the point where they'll ask him, hey, has anyone ever told you that you? He's like, what, that I look like Seth Rogen? Yeah, thanks. All right, bye.
Thanks. I've heard it, done it, seen it.
All the time. Just crushing dreams.
Like, well, what I really want to learn is that thing that he does.
Yeah.
I'm disturbed. Scratchier. And then I can really freak people out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it would just be cool.
Able to do it.
Yeah.
It would be cool. It would. So before we get on to our super serious topics we have for today, now that we've mentioned books and that we write books, can you ladies tell us what you write, a little bit about what you do? You can fight for who goes first.
I'll hit her up. I have written two books out of a trilogy so far, and the series name is called Chin Up, Tits Out. Chin Up, Tits Out, right? It's not provocative. I mean, there's some, you know, you got to read it to find out, but there is some good stuff in there. But it stems from a place of self-confidence and, you know, always kind of doing those little movements, that chin up, head back, shoulders back, head up, you know, stand up straight, that confidence pose or that power pose, and how much of a difference that can make in our lives, even if what our world seems like, if it's going to fall, if it's falling around or falling apart around us, just chin up, tits out, and You'll get there. It'll be okay. So I, that's my books. They're funny. They've been compared to Sex in the City, which is pretty cool. I like that. That was a good self-pat on the back moment. And then the third one's coming out soon. I'm just finishing editing it and then going to go through the publishing process. That's about me and my writing.
What's the third one called?
It's still the Chin Up Tits Out series, and I'm petering on the title. So the first book is Remember No Matter What, Chin Up Tits Out. The second one is When All Else Fails, Chin Up Tits Out, and the third one's going to be something Chin Up Tits Out. I just don't exactly know what that's going to be yet.
Catherine and I will help you. We'll nail this down.
Yeah. Right. I was gonna say when life gives you lemons, chin up, tits out.
Squeeze them and make tequila. Like when you said lemons, like all I wanted to do was like squeeze the juice. I don't. That was what I envisioned when we did that, when we talked that over. I don't know.
Well, then maybe it doesn't fit. So, Jason, go ahead.
I'm playing around with the idea of just breathe. Chin up, tits out, and in this moment, chin up, tits out. But it's not, I don't want a fleeting type of feeling, because it's kind of the fairy tale happy ending, but from a completely upside down, sideways, backwards perspective, which makes no sense, but that means you got to read it to find it out. So
I totally get it. That's like how my life works. So,
100%. It's like, I live a fairy tale. It's just not the Cinderella version of it
at all. You would never recognize it unless I actually told you.
No. And there's like a lot of alcohol and, some bad decisions and maybe a little bit of self-doubt, a lot of self-doubt. But hey, that's real. That's just what we deal with on a real basis. So that's what I write about. And I try to make it fantasy a little. It's fun.
Awesome. Yeah. That sounds super cool.
Well, Catherine, tell us a little bit about your books.
I write dark fantasy and dystopian sci-fi, a couple of those in the LGBT realm. You distracted me there, Jason, because I'm like, maybe I should join you too, but I don't have mine with me, so I'm trying to be all professional and stuff. That's cool. Whatever. My books. I've got a dark fantasy duology out right now. It's Kinona's Children, Daughter of the Dragon and Mother of the Dragon, and that is Kill Bill meets the Jungle Book with dragons.
I like it.
The first book was, it was the first that I ever wrote and the first that I published, and it was my first bestseller, and it was like a whole bunch of things all put together. And still probably the, I guess it's tied for the most popular among my books. So there's those two. And then I have I hesitate to call it new adult, but it is like coming of age dark fantasy trilogy. That's the Unclaimed trilogy. And Jason has read Sanctuary of Delin, had some awesome things to say about it, which I love. Thank you. then the last book that I released is Sleepwater Beat, and it's the first book in the Blue Helix series. It's LGBT dystopian sci-fi kind of thriller. It's a lot of fist fights and gunfights and explosions and government conspiracies and like running away from stuff and people with superpowers that manifest through their words when they speak certain types of words, and they elicit physical responses in people who hear them speak with us. So really super exciting. Just recently, Sleepwater Beat became an international bestseller, and I was like super happy about that. So that has been cool.
Yay!
So that probably is tied with, I guess, readership for with Daughter of the Dragon. So two completely different genres that both seem to be doing really well. So basically what I write is just really dark stuff. Like the more morose and kind of depressing, the better. And then if I can put fantasy and like some weird, I don't know, supernatural stuff in it, it makes it really fun. So
just like, twist it. Just twist
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I just, it just
add lemons. Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't call him morose. And that's just from Sanctuary of Delon, but right. It wasn't morose. It was dark. I mean, some twisted stuff happened, but I didn't get done with it feeling like, oh man, like when you get done watching a Requiem for a Dream or Train Spotting and you're just like, oh, I'm just going to go cry in bed.
Well, also Sanctuary of Delon was not about like drug use. Okay. So like completely different. Like, I don't think anybody finds that happy. Like,
no, it's a tough one.
It's really super tough to watch. But actually, the Unclaimed trilogy, Jason, is like my like most like, I'm not going to call it. Yeah, I mean, it's PG-ish, PG-13, but like my least dark.
Those are your happy books.
Yeah, those are my happy books. So like, and they get even more intense. Yeah, you got to read the other ones. Read all of them. Go for it. But yeah, no,
because your hair is so cool, I guess we could try.
Yeah, right. yeah, you have to now. You've seen my hair. That's true.
And you know, and I never tell people what I write on here because I'm always introducing guests, but you know, you guys have people on here who don't know me and don't know Katie, our host, who is not here today. But so I'm Jason and I write books just like everybody else. And they're kind of scary. What I write are, I guess you'd call them paranormal thrillers. I take a real life event that a friend or family or someone has come up to me with and say, hey, this happened. And I'm like, man, that's an amazing idea. And then I just kind of craft a novel around it. And so that's what I like to write. They're not necessarily funny. They're not Miranda O, that's for sure. they're not fantasy, but they are dark. Catherine, when I saw that post about becoming an international bestseller, it reminded me of a friend of ours from the show, Michael Brent Collings, who's a horror author. That's kind of how he's best known. And he's an indie, but he's kind of a powerhouse indie. You know, he doesn't brag, but he was kind of bragging the other day that he writes in all these different genres, sometimes 10 names. And he's like, and I just hit number one in romance. And I'm like, holy crap, dude. Yeah. It's just like, so you've got to cover it all there. You need the EGOT.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
If you spread it across the board, you're bound to hit something, right?
Right. That's right. Multiple streams of income.
Oh,
right?
Of course. Hey, you can write more off on taxes when you have multiple streams of income as well, right?
Hell yeah.
I'm an Airbnb host, and that's just the bee's knees outside.
You're an Airbnb host?
Mm-hmm. I am. Yeah.
I can totally picture your place being adorable. Is it adorable?
Well, you can kind of see it behind me. I think it's cool. I think it's like kind of like a peaceful, tranquil place to be. But I'm right downtown in the core of the city. So you can take a step outside of any of the exits of my building and walk 2 minutes and be somewhere super cool or have a really nice bite to eat or see something really interesting. I absolutely love it. And it's like, I'm fully booked, like probably 95% capacity year round. It's insane. Wow. And I live in Winnipeg, like not somewhere like super cool and trendy, but I have the coolest, trendiest people coming and staying at my place. And so I'm like, yeah, come to Winnipeg, see how cool it really is. Even though people don't think it's cool, it's just cold.
So but there's an actual city there though, right? I mean, it's a big city, right?
Yeah. We're just shy of a million, I think right now. Okay. So yeah, we're getting there and everybody's super friendly. My neighbor was like, well, we're only friendly in the summertime. And I was like, Yes, but in the wintertime, like I cannot count the amount of times that my neighbors growing up that helped us shovel the driveways or the people that pushed us out of the ditches or helped, like that you just pull over and you're like, hey, do you need a boost or a lift or something? Like, here's a hot chocolate because you're cleaning the snow off of my road and it's snowing and it sucks. And I have an extra hot chocolate. So here you go, Mr. Tractor Driver, for no reason. And that's Winnipeggers is like literally in the darkness and coldness of the winter, somehow we always seem to be nice to one another. But we have somewhat of a bad rap, but I don't know where that bad rap is because
You're in Canada. How do you have a bad rap?
I
You guys are like the nicest people on the planet.
That's so funny. I'm listening to your story, Miranda, and I'm like, boy, here in Vermont, everybody just kind of keeps to themselves during the winter. It's like, I haven't seen the sun in 6 months. Don't talk to me.
I was in Detroit just before Christmas time, and I was walking up the street with my cousin, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? She's like, can you just stop saying
Great.
hello to everybody? Like, why are you trying to make eye contact with them? And I was like, well, because one, I'm on vacation. It's a Canadian thing. Yes, it is a very much Canadian thing. But also here's my rationale. Maybe you two in your darkness will appreciate this, okay? I
No,
am
it
less
takes the darkness away.
right, but hear me out though. I feel like I'm less likely to get like mugged or attacked or something if I have a hop and a skip to my step, I'm smiling and I try to make eye contact and say hey to everybody I pass. I don't know. Maybe I'm naive to think that way, but I think it's just trying to spread a little bit of positivity and hope to not get mugged and chopped up into little pieces and mailed out. That's what I hope when I go
That's
for a walk. But
wow. Yeah, so for like the woman who writes comedy, like that is pretty dark. I don't think about those
there's a
things on a
reason
daily
behind the comedy.
basis. Yeah,
Right? Like
obviously
when I go running,
I
I send people my location and they know where I'm running because I'm like, and I have a rape alarm that's like
Right.
attached right here onto my workout gear.
I thought everyone was super friendly.
Yeah, but what why would you not prep for the worst here?
Exactly.
Come on. And like I work hard to look a little bit decent. And like I mean I'm not the most of the sexiest person out there, but I like I just I want to make sure that I cover all my bases.
You know,
Girl.
do either of you listen to My Favorite Murder, the podcast?
No.
Oh my
No.
gosh. Both of you, especially you, Catherine, will really appreciate this. My Favorite Murder is, I mean, it's an audio only, and it's these two women, Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hartstark. They're both comedians, and basically for an hour they bullshit around and they're just hilarious, but they're also talking about, you know, murders that are ha have happened or famous serial killers and this and that, and they're always talking about how they're replaying these dramas of things that have happened, you know, of the woman out running who doesn't send her location to someone or doesn't have an alarm, and they're like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? But then the other day they finally did a murder that was from Canada. I was like, Canada has murders? Really? Holy shit. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, usually it's like within a circle, like you don't get like drive-bys or anything. Like if there's a murder, it's like premeditated. You know, I that's what I think anyways. I'm like I said, I'm the one who says everybody's friendly, but then also hopes and prays that she doesn't get mugged or raped during her run every time I leave the house.
Wait, I gotta, why are we laughing at this?
I
This is
told
not a
you
funny
it would be
subject.
dark, but you would appreciate it. And there it is. There's some humor to it. I don't know. It's like when the girl runs up the stairs in a horror movie and you're like, come on. Like, no way. Like, I need to go home now.
Oh, people are
Oh,
sending us.
Gordy's watching. Hey, this is awesome.
Well, and Carla had or not Carla. Oh yeah, Carla.
Yeah,
I
Carla
think
was talking about.
she's calling you a Disney princess. One of you. Or maybe who's the Disney princess? Am I the Disney princess?
You, Jason.
See you, Jason.
Yes. Definitely more Disney princess than me.
You know, I get
I put on pink lipstick today for the first time in a long time. That could be it.
So I'm going the right way. I've got to give you guys some full disclosure here. I tried on about six of my wife's dresses today because I wanted to wear a dress to the show tonight as a gag. Okay. All right. My wife is way skinnier than me. It didn't work. I went to Goodwill. All the Goodwill dresses were too skinny for me. I'm like, what is going on here? You crushed my dream wearing a dress tonight. But I had it all planned out. Like, as I'm introducing the show, I'm going to be taking off my shirt and be like, bam, sequin dress.
Wow.
But no, and that story ties right into something I didn't realize just now.
On that note,
yeah, please do keep going.
I was out to breakfast with yes, I am Flynn Rider. I was out to breakfast with the lady at our library here who's setting up a big showcase of events, which Miranda is coming to this summer. She had read a couple of my books and she leaned across the table and she was like, "Are you really a lesbian?" I'm like, "Well, I'm a male, but if I was a girl, I would probably definitely be a lesbian. That'd be great."
Yeah. But
I have quite a few LGBT characters in my book, so it just kind of threw her for a little bit of a loop. And Holland is super duper conservative. So it's if you look or act a little weird like I am, You stick out.
I feel like maybe we should all three of us go to Holland and just like walk down the street.
Yes.
What happens?
Hop and skip down the street.
Oh, we get
Miranda chin up, tits out everywhere.
Oh my gosh, Miranda, it's so funny. So I briefly glossed over this. So for the Raven podcast, for everybody watching, not specifically you, Miranda, because you already know. our local library is hosting a big author showcase where for like 12 weeks through the summer, I'm bringing in authors that I know and some that I don't know from around the country and beyond the country up into Canada to do live interviews and readings on stage with me, which I'm super excited about. And when we're talking about Miranda's book, she said, "Okay, so on the advertisement, I'm just going to call this the chin up series until she gets here." That's how conservative Holland is.
In bookstores, they don't they're like, "Oh, Miranda, author of the chin up series." Oh, I don't get to that before. And then there's me and I'm just like, "Hey guys,
Miranda's in her plain dress." She's like, "Yeah,
do it."
And you know, every single person that walks into that bookstore is making eye contact with me and I'm saying hello. They don't even, the bookstores in the city, they don't hire greeters when I do signings anymore because they just plunk me right at the front of the store. And I'm like, "Hey, happy Saturday. Hey, nice shoes. Oh, damn, son, look at you. What are you in here for today? Let me see those books." And then you actually figure out what people read and you're like, "Oh, you have a freaky, aren't you?" Yeah. I know you know what I know you think you're reading. You're going to add my book. Here you go. I'm going to sign it for you. Okay. Bye-bye. And then I just send people off with my books. I'm like, "Here you go. Drop a few hundred bucks." Not a few hundred bucks, but you know, whatever.
Didn't I tell you she was a blast?
It's awesome. I'm so happy. This is great. Yes. That would be fun just to come see. I just want to come see it. Like I said, watch you do that again.
Well, you know, another lifetime ago, way back in the day, I was a carny. So I think it's embedded. Oh, yeah. Like, straight up carny. Work at a carnival.
That's something you need to lead with just all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Lead with.
Just like, carny. No, I was a carny.
Mic drop. Bam. That's it. And boom. Don't say anything else. That's it. Yeah. That's all you need.
Just like, "I was a carny.
All right. Mic I'm out." Yeah.
I was a carny. This is why you're so educated about the rape alarms and stuff, right?
Yeah. Hey, man, you never know. You always gotta be prepared. Like, have you ever walked? I suffer with a little bit of PTSD, and some days are worse than others. Some days there's no PTSD at all. Now, walking down the alleyway of a carnival with all those games and those loud pops and blings and oh man, I was through the roof the whole time I did it. But again, you learn to to be your biggest own advocate, because how do you stand out at a carnival? If you can't stand out at a carnival, where you if you can figure out how to stand out at a carnival, you can figure out how to stand out anywhere, essentially.
So, and which led you to your job in Catherine, can you guess what she does now for a living?
I feel like I don't even want to guess, because I know I'm gonna be wrong. I know it's not gonna be whatever I guess. Please do tell me.
I'm a trainer in the finance and insurance world. So I travel across Canada and I train on different types of platforms and do speaking and writing. Right? it's a lot. But I love being in front of people. I don't know why. It's a lot different than being behind a computer screen and just kind of hammering away at a storybook, all by yourself. It's like polar opposite peoples. But I guess I satisfy both personalities that I have. Maybe there's another one in there that pops out every now and then. Depends on the day.
And this is why I insisted that I have you for this summer, because you are so much fun to talk to. People are just gonna love you.
Wonderful
to have you on stage. It's gonna be so fun.
Oh, it's gonna be a great time. We're gonna have a blast.
Oh, that's gonna be good. Oh, awesome. So now, what do you guys think of? Because this is our. Oh, wait. I'm supposed to be paying attention to these comments that show up here. Look at this. Did we already talk about dress shopping?
You talked about dress shopping for yourself.
Oh, I did.
We didn't cover that comment. Yes.
And I think Joe was talking to you, Miranda. He certainly wasn't talking to me.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
So this was going to be our girl power episode, but really it's kind of like every episode we do is kind of a girl power episode, because I feel like the girls are the most badass people we have anyway. And it's always like me and a bunch of awesome women anyway. So I'm like, oh, it's just, we could rename this girl power and we'd be good to go.
So, just another day.
I don't know if any of you watch superhero movies or anything like that, but what do you guys think about some of the female superheroes that we've been being introduced to recently? Are they hitting the mark? Are we liking them? Are we not?
I was actually really kind of impressed with Captain Marvel when that happened, with the movie and the way that I can't do anything with actors' names or details, because
I think her name is Brie something.
But I go this. Yeah, Captain Marvel.
Whatever her name is.
Right. I was really impressed with that, because I am familiar with Captain Marvel's backstory in terms of the comic books. Okay, so I know there was in her original storyline, there was a lot of abuse and some seriously crazy issues that later, after it was originally published in the comic books, got a lot of flack for why would we be elevating this abusive relationship and trying to make a strong female superhero character. And so I thought that was great with the movie that they didn't bring, obviously, where are we gonna bring that up in a movie, but I liked that there wasn't romance in that movie, at all, not even a hint, which with most superhero movies, there is a little bit maybe, but then it's kind of really only when the main characters are dudes and it's let's just put in something for people to look at. Yeah. And great. But I really like the fact that there was no romantic vein at all whatsoever in Captain Marvel, and she was totally just badass, and also like had, you know, she had no idea who she was, what she was doing. And I loved the relationship with her best friend. Like, it actually made me cry because my best friend and I are like that. So, you know, not that I forgot her, just that close.
I'm sorry, Captain, best friend.
Right?
Whoever you are.
Yeah, whoever, whichever actress that was, you did good, right? I haven't seen that movie, but the way that you described it, Catherine, I loved and I can resonate with from just a female point of view or perspective in the way that society's kind of putting out this female power. Thank you, Brie Larson. I knew I couldn't remember the last name. But the female powerhouse and how we don't necessarily need romance to be complete. And that our friends and our family, our tribe, our village are really the ones that help shape us and mold us to be the superheroes that we are in our own ways. Like every woman that I have crossed paths with can go to astronomical lengths if they have to, if they're forced to, if they're painted into a corner. It just, some women are put into those situations a lot more than other women are. And some women are forced to be superheroes continuously. And those women don't need to have romance. They don't need to have the fluffy, big, puffy white gowns, pink gowns, you know, with the tiaras, but they're still super women or superheroes and, you know, still super feminine and awesome all at the same time. So I think it's really cool. Yeah, I think it's really cool that it's coming out and there's a lot of more of like a lot more of female empowerment that's being shared out there. Because again, y'all don't need romance or a partner at the end of the day to be happy or to be fulfilled. So I like that message.
Awesome. Oh, cool. Thanks. Somebody likes my viewpoints. I love what you said, Miranda. That yes. I agree with you 100%.
So this is our other host who's not here, asking if we want to talk about the gaslighting of the main character in Captain Marvel, and I'm assuming she's talking about Jude Law's character. I would think who's kind of just subtly sowing these seeds of uncertainty, and you're not quite good enough, and you can't quite do it on your own, and oh, we can take this away. And that was one thing that, you know, I really liked Captain Marvel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I love badass female characters. They are my favorite. And when I'm buying a book, usually I'm looking for a badass female lead. And I just thought they did a fantastic job with it. You know, and it's still a Marvel movie. It's still an action movie. But yeah, there was depth to it. You know, there was that gaslighting going on, which while it wasn't necessarily highlighted, but it also wasn't swept under the rug either. They put it in there so that we could see. Yeah, this is the kind of shit that many powerful women have to go through in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was nice that they're actually in their Marvel kind of way, bringing light to some of these subjects. So I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah. And I, like I said, you know, there was no romance in it, which I loved, and like, it didn't have to be. And the fact that gaslighting was happening, I agree that it's important to like expose this and illuminate the fact that this is a real thing. And it, like, I mean, it can happen to anyone, and I have experienced plenty of it in my life, but I love the fact that the relationship between Jude Law's character and Brie Larson's character there was no like romantic tension. There was no like, he wasn't like, what's the word I'm looking for? He wasn't objectifying her in it as part and parcel.
Yeah, nothing to do with sex.
Right, it wasn't, and it may have had something to do with gender or not. You know, who knows?
Right.
If she had been a man and was found and taken in to become part of these people, I can't remember details. Like I said, but I know what I'm talking about. That, you know, it may have been exactly the same thing, and one of those, like, I think he knew the whole time, the entire time, that she was more powerful than him, and just tried to, you know, put a
Well, and he couldn't restrain him physically, so he yeah. attempted to do it through his subtle verbal abuse. I don't know if any of you have seen Endgame. We're not going to talk about Endgame because
that's off limit. I haven't seen it yet.
Yep.
That's a big one.
Joe does mention that there's a great woman power movement in Endgame, and I'll tell you what, Joe, that was probably my favorite. I sat back and I was like, damn. It was just good. It was real good.
I need to watch it at home because my bladder will not suffice for 3 hours. I'm sorry.
Had to take two body breaks.
Yeah, but are you going to ask the movie theater to pause it for you? Because like, I don't want to miss like, and I can pee quickly if I need to, but still like it is the end game. Like it's not just
come back later.
Yeah. Like you don't miss a minute of the end game. You pause that and you have snacks coming on an hourly basis. It's like, oh, it will be an event just behind me on my couch.
I watch everything late all the time. Like, you know, all the stuff is happening and I'm like, oh yeah, I can't, but I'll get there eventually. I have a 2-year-old. So I'm like, getting out of the house is not a thing for me. And I work at home, so it's extra not a thing for me.
Right.
I will be watching Endgame eventually. And I was going to bring up, like, oh, this is stupid of me because we're just saying, we're not talk about Endgame because it's spoilers. But I was like, oh man, Game of Thrones. And the most recent episode. Do you guys watch that?
No.
I am 2 seasons behind. So I do watch it, but I don't have HBO at the moment. So once it's complete, then I'll buy HBO for a month or so and finish those.
Binge watch it.
Fair enough. So I'm alone. I'm all alone up here in my corner.
I'm alone in my world not watching Game of Thrones, but I mean, tried.
That's fine.
I tried so hard. Like, really? I just kept falling asleep and I don't know. I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I would like doze off and then wake up like 3 episodes later. I'm like, I don't know how this happened. And it happened 4 times in the span of like 2 years that I attempted. So I was just like, maybe it's just not for me.
Well, I have a feeling that you got stuck maybe close to where I did. Cause you know, I wish Katie was on here because she would gab about Game of Thrones all night. But I was talking to her. There's one season, and it's when Danny is in Marine, and for the whole season you're waiting for Danny to do something, and she doesn't. And the whole season you're just like, what the hell am I watching for? And it's a season of just intrigue with very little actual moving forward of the plot. And it was that season where I'm like, okay, I got to take a break. And then we didn't have HBO again. And now I'm like, oh crap. Now I'm way behind. So, really good. I mean, it's so well done though. I mean, everything about it, the costuming, the writing, the characters, the actors are incredible. It's just,
everything.
It's a really well-made series, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything. I mean, a lot of things take some time to get into. I just have to like to go off of your "it's so well made" point, Jason. I won't say anything about the actual episode, but I was watching the actual last episode of Game of Thrones, and like the most recent. And my husband had seen it before me because I watch everything late. Obviously, Courtney. Hi.
Is that your best friend?
Maybe, I can't remember. So watching this last episode, my husband had seen it before me and he's like sitting next to me in the bed and I'm going, oh my God, oh my God, oh man, how do they, what? They can't even, how do they do that? This, there's no way that they can survive this. And I was freaking out. I'd be actually yelling right now if my kid wasn't asleep in the room. I was like I was getting dizzy and feeling nauseous and probably sweating a little bit as I'm like watching this. And like really, it was shot so well, and it was like just one thing after the next that was just like, you gotta be kidding me. It was the most intense thing I've ever watched. And then the very end happened. I can't spoil it. The very end happened, and I broke down crying, like sobbing. Just, it was that powerful of a catharsis at the very end. And wow. I'm not like a big crier.
Saying you're a dark dick, man.
Right.
Right. So, but it was like happy relief cry, which is also not something I do. So like, you know, I can read all the craziest stuff and I can watch all the craziest stuff. And then, but this, I was just like exploded into tears. And then I was like puffy eyed, all like sniveling stupidly. Like I just watched like some chick flick, like a person who, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I don't. And
like you, you're talking like me. I'm the one who cries during chick flicks.
What? I don't know what this means, Joe. What's happening here?
I don't. Well, we know for a fact, Jason, that you come in last, and Miranda and I, we're gonna have to.
We'll tie it out.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say fight for it.
Okay. Well, there's a sharing is caring, dear. Sharing is caring. Okay, I can share. We can share.
I don't know. I've seen Miranda's marathon pictures. She's pretty buff.
Oh God. Yeah. My dad, my dad's like, you guys want to run with old man? And I was like, no. And my brother was like, he ran in the opposite direction. He didn't even respond to the request. And so I was like, oh no. Like, and how do you say no to your dad? Who's going to outrun you at a marathon? Like you can't. So then I started to run, and I goddamn hate running. It sucks so bad, but I actually loved it. Once I started training for it for real, and then when we did run the marathon, it was a very profound memory, a wonderful, delightful memory that I'm never gonna forget that I have with my dad. So I was right into my tunes and I was stepping, I didn't break my pace the whole 2 hours and however long it was. Oh my God, all my organs felt like they were just gonna like fall out of me from just constant pounding on pavement. But every kilometer, or sorry, mile, my bad, Americans. I would get
slapped. Wait, like you have to.
No, I'm just kidding. But I get this slap and I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, look at the sign. Cause it's a big Manitoba marathon. So there's like 30,000 runners or something like that. It's massive. And so he'd slap me and he was, look at this sign, look at that sign, or look at this person. Oh, we passed this person and now they're passing us. And I'm just like, every 30 minutes, every 20 minutes, I just get this like hoof and I'd go flying and he would just be like the happiest person in the world. And I was like, all right, cool. I ate a big piece of cake after that. And then I went to bed.
Hell yeah. You know, about 10 years ago, I was in the best shape of my life by far. And I started riding a bike and then I was like, oh, this is fun. So then I started, you know, stalking the local bike shop and they ended up asking me to join their triathlon team. So I started doing triathlons for a couple of years. And I mean, I got really into it. I was one of those dorks in the full spandex suits with the teardrop helmets. And I mean, it was serious business. So I'm doing this Olympic triathlon in a town, a couple cities away, and it's tough. It's an especially hard one. And I get to the running section and I'm on my pace. I feel like I'm doing okay. And I'm going. And, you know, I hear this huffing behind me, this, you know, what you do when somebody's coming up to pass you. And so this guy passes me, whatever. I don't care. But as he passes me, Your age group is written on the bottom of your calf in triathlon so that they can tell where you are at the end. And I see him and he's like 63 years old, white haired old guy. And here I am, I'm 29 years old. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting my ass kicked here. And he just right by like it was nothing. Like, you gotta be kidding me here.
There's always
a humbling moment there.
Oh, there it is. There was, you know what? We were stretching and we were getting ready and we started in the big football stadium. So we were stretching and getting ready and you know, the nerves are flying. Like, I'm sweating. I'm going pee every 15 minutes. In 45 minutes, I think I went pee like 5 times. Like, and my dad's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, just nerves. I'm good. And so he started, but he was playing calm. Like, you know, like I'm the dad. I'm the calm one. Like Haley, like, you know, I'm the calm one. Right. So, then he starts pointing out the color of bibs. So the color of bib that we have determined what race we were racing. If we're racing the full marathon, half marathon, the 10K, the whatever fun run or whatever it is. And they were all colored. So he's like red, blue, stretching, look at that. Oh, yellow, blue, red. And I'm like, pops, what's up? Red. I'm like, you okay? Yeah. I'm just, just stretching it out. I was like, all right, you nervous. You're nervous as hell too. Like, we're both good. And he's just like, yeah, I'm nervous because I might like have a heart attack and die. You're nervous just because you don't want to get beat by your old man. And I was like, okay, you're right.
Oh, man.
Well done, Gordy.
One of the people who gives me a lot of shit for docking with my hands. So. Now he's actually a reader who comments on a lot of my stuff, and he's a pretty cool guy. I'm glad he's watching. And now, Miranda, you talk with your hands more than I do. So.
I've thrown things at people accidentally when I train. Like if I have a pen in my hand and I'm talking and then my hands get sweaty because I get excited and then the pen goes flying and something in the head. I'm like, oh, sorry, you're awake now. Pay attention.
So since today is Star Wars Day, do we have any Star Wars fans amongst you two?
Yeah, my daughter's middle name is Skywalker.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Like, legit. Okay, I've got a great story about this. So we were like wondering
our faces, Jason.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Okay, tell us. I'm with them on this all the way.
So we were deciding like whether or not her middle name was gonna be Sky or Skywalker, because yeah, right? Like, and then so this is a two-part story. I was I had a home birth, so she was born at home, and we had three midwives. And
Catherine wins.
My husband. Okay, thanks.
Super woman.
Hey, and so like I'm like at the end of labor, like Lori's about to be born. Things are happening, and they're really intense. I don't need to get into any detail about that, but as like this process is happening right at the very end, and is like actually the worst part of the whole thing. My husband's like, babe, Skywalker. And I was like, shut up.
Not the time.
We're not talking about this right now, like literally 5 minutes before my daughter is born. And I'm like, this is what? But then we finally decided to call her Skywalker. So then she was a home birth, right? And so like, you know, most of the time from what I hear, the hospitals, when, babies are born at the hospitals, the hospital will help like set up a lot of like paperwork, right? Like birth certificate and social security number. So my daughter spent the first at least a year of her life without a social security number, and I had to go into the office by myself and got to Vermont and like, all right, I have all this information, let's set this up, get this done. And I walked in, I had all of her stuff, I handed the paperwork assigned to the guy. And he just looks down. He's like, Skywalker, huh? Goes, yes, that's her middle name. And he goes, what's your midichlorian count? And I was like,
what?
Yeah, and I just said off the charts. And he goes, cool. And then just went back to typing the stuff. And I was like,
holy shit.
Best conversation I've ever had.
Oh my God.
It was great. Like, he didn't, like, break at all. He didn't smile. He didn't anything. And I didn't either. And it was just like a super badass moment of
wow.
Two nerds and like talking
two
about
it. Connecting.
Right? Over nerdy things in a super unnerdy place, like social security office. Come on.
Oh gosh, that's hilarious.
That is that's oh my God. That is amazing. I'm so happy you shared that story, because now I'm going to keep that story. I'm going to tell that story to other people. That's awesome.
I know this person who had a really cool story.
Yes. Right.
Well, you know, today I'm also a I'm a minister, and so I officiate weddings. And today, actually just a few hours ago, I had to rush home to do this. I was officiating a wedding out at Tunnel Park, beautiful beach here in Holland, and bride and groom walk up. It's just the two of them, and a witness, and we never met them before. They, you know, they found us online, and they come up, and they're just a couple. Looks like they're in their late 20s, early 30s. And as she's walking up, she's holding the bouquet, really pretty. And I'm watching, and I'm looking at this bouquet as she's coming up, and I'm like, something looks strange about this. The bouquet is a fucking lightsaber holder. A lightsaber with the flowers on the top of it. And I was like, are you kidding me? And the guy's got cufflinks from Star Wars. He ends up pulling up his jacket under his suit. He's got a photorealistic Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker over here.
No way.
And I was like, oh, this is the best. So I had to quick do some improv during the ceremony to throw in Star Wars quotes and
make of course. Extra fun,
but oh my God, it was just
that is so
what a,
cool.
What a fun. It's great awesome. When you meet fellow nerds,
right? Yeah. When you meet people that you automatically resonate or connect with some way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, so good, so good. Oh yes, you are right, Katie. That goes to Catherine.
Yeah.
No doubt.
For sure.
Holy cow. And the next story I want to hear is about how some kind of Doctor Who story. So make that happen somewhere.
Oh yeah, I'm working on it. My own story. I was like, actually, if I went back in time and like tried to change anything, my life would be like probably really boring right now. Or like always, you know, like I don't think I would trade. Mm-mm. The crazy things, even like the really, really shitty things. Like,
I wouldn't either. Wouldn't either at all.
There's been a lot, you know, like, and I'm sure that, I can't remember what I was saying, but I might just have to Doctor Who it into the future then, just to see what happens.
Well, and I have something for you, Miranda, and this is totally true. It's kind of sad, happy. You know, I have some pretty serious depression, and it's not always good over here in Jason's world. And there have been times where it's the worst it could be. And more than once, I've actually thought about you. After our first conversation, when you were telling me your philosophy on life and how you get through things. And I've thought about that more than once, and it doesn't always work, but sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it really helps to say, no, I'm going to put my chin out and I'm going to say, fuck it. And I'm going to go through this day and I'm going to be as proud as I can. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's not perfect. It's not always perfect, but I do. And I think of that and I've always appreciated that from you.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. I'm so glad that you shared, because you're right. Like, there are days where, you know, somebody's just like, Miranda, you know, you're saying chin up, tits out. And I'm just like, like, I get so mad when somebody gives me my own advice. especially if you're in a moment like that, or in a phase or something, and you're down in a depression moment, or you're in an anxiety, panic, you know, and somebody gives you that and it's just not the right one, or not the right, you know, medicine, or whatever you want to call it, the right mantra for the moment. But hey, try it out at least, you know, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You move on to the next one. If it does work, then you're good. So at least it's always a little fun when somebody tells me that too. So I thank you so much for sharing that with me, Jason.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, I think it's important for people to know that if you suffer from some kind of mental illness or personality disorder, that it's important to have a toolbox that has a lot of different tools in there. And that's something that any psychologist or psychiatrist will tell you, is that, you know, have more than one coping mechanism, have a number of things that you can try. And for God's sakes, have people that you can talk to, because I mean, having people that love us and that we love and that are willing to talk to you, I mean, it will literally save your life.
100%.
It really will.
100%. Even like the most uncomfortable conversations. I was talking to one of my best friends about this. So we were talking about our relationships with our parents. And I said, I had a tiff with my parents and my brother, and she had a tiff with her parents and her sister. And I was like, oh, well, we're going to have a family discussion. And she's like, oh, well, we don't have those. We just kind of like sweep it under the rug until it blows up again. And I was like, oh, well, like we have talking sticks. We sit down with a pot of tea, you know, and like, really? And
I got the conch.
Yeah. And we lay out the cards, and it's been like that since day one. And so now I'm all about having uncomfortable conversations, because even if you blow up on each other again, you're still reconciling. You're still talking through those feelings. You're still, you know, aligning with the people that you love, and aligning and reconciling and communicating with one another is how we build our relationships and how we build love and trust with people. And if we can't, and that's how we build love and trust within ourselves, is expressing those feelings to the ones that we know don't judge us, that we can actually talk to and be open with. So have the uncomfortable conversations.
No, yeah. If my family is watching, this is where we went wrong.
You need talking sticks and pots of tea. Like, yeah. Or strong coffee. It really depends on, like, if it's a Saturday morning and we were all living together as adults or all in the same area, then yeah, it would be big cups of coffee. And by the time our cups of coffee are done, the conversation is done, and kind of everybody has their own opportunity to it all out. And once you do that, it's like vomiting out the poison, right? You get it out, and then you can grow happily.
Like it.
It works. It totally works.
I think you could really have a go at it as a therapist too, Brian. I'll tell you what.
Oh, I have paid enough in therapy bills. I'm pretty sure I can translate that on and like be a helpful. I push it on my parents and my family and my friends all the time. I'm like, all right, Dr. Miranda, let's go sit down. Let's talk about how you feel. How do you feel about that?
Well, ladies, we're getting down to the final few minutes of our show here. But even though you've already told us a little bit about what you write, I'd like each of you to just kind of take one book in particular that you'd really like people to know about, and give us a few more details about it, so that our listeners can say, hey, you know, I like that. I want to go buy that.
Catherine, you start this time.
Oh, all right. Okay, cool. So, I mean, I'm really super enjoying Sleep Bottleby and what's happening with it. I think actually our conversations with them, all the things that we've had conversations about in this hour, have tied into this book in some way, which is very cool. That is my latest book, Sleep Bottleby. It's a LGBT dystopian sci-fi, and I have only just recently started talking about it. But the main character, Leo, is actually, I have poured so much of myself into this character. And it was one of the weirdest things to do. And also like one of the most like empowering, and kind of like, okay, I'm putting this stuff out there in a completely fictional way, but she is me. Like, and then she's herself. She's a character. So, you know, it's a story, and like these things didn't actually happen to me. I'm super excited to hear what people think about, you know, it's within a world that's, you know, set in the really close future. It's like 30 years from now in an alternate future of what is actually possible if things were to go just a little bit to the side with that, you know, with technology. You know, talking about the talking sticks that, you know, I don't have talking sticks in the book, but you know, the I guess sort of like overrunning of these things that are taking our focus so far away from speaking to each other and having interactions and you know, taking the time to sit and be. And so through through Leo and, you know, the fact that she's got no family and she ran away and made some pretty terrible, terrible decisions and continues to make them, and kind of finds this place where it's not really redeeming herself, but maybe starting to, that, you know, there is this place where connecting and speaking and being with other people elevates us beyond all the things that are distracting and taking us away from what's really the core and the root of who we are, who we're trying to be. I took a lot of time with that. So that's the end of my book. Sleepwater Beat is the first book in the Blue Helix series.
That was beautiful. That was perfect.
Well, thank you.
Yes, it was. Okay, so I would suggest if I got to pick one of my books, then pick the latest one. It's When All Else Fails, Chin Up, Tits Out. It's the second book of this series. The first book is full of love and hope and fearlessness, and it's quick and very fun and fast. And then you pick up book two and you meet your character, our main character, Hadley. And Hadley, the first book, kind of works through a long distance relationship and immigration. And she marries a white African and tries to immigrate him over to Canada and just kind of the troubles of that. So when we meet her up in book two, she's kind of preparing for her happily ever after. She, you know, book one was really a long time and a big effort for her. And getting ready for the happily ever after with her husband, moving to Canada and, you know, have a family, have a dog, this, that, and bacon fat. And, sorry.
I have never heard that before.
She's great, isn't she?
It's fantastic. It just came out of nowhere. Awesome.
And then it takes a wild turn, just like Chin Up, Tits Out first book does. It takes you through these ridiculously dark chapters of her life with her partner, and her partner gets this diagnosis with cancer, and it is ugly, where there is addiction involved and mental illness and a lot of twisted turns within the medical system and what cancer really does to not just the patient, but to the caregiver and to the family and the ripple effect that it has. Like, I can't speak for the States, but I can speak for Canadians. One in two Canadians will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. For me, that was me and my ex-husband, and I was 23 years old. And my ex-husband was a 26-year-old cancer patient. And it was nothing that I ever expected how to deal with. And so I chose to write about it in a fictional way. So similar to you, Catherine. And with that, I was able to really connect and share dark pieces of reality that people have to go through on a day-to-day basis. And I mean, my story, Hadley's story, the Chin Up, Tits Out series is only really a fraction of what reality has to say or what reality people face on a day-to-day basis. But our main character, Hadley, still had the strength within, and she used the strength within her tribe and the people that she loved to have this constant chin up, tits out attitude and keep moving forward through this really crappy time. So it's a heavy book, but if you pick up a bottle of wine or whatever alcoholic beverage is your choice or whatever, you know, whatever you want, I mean, whatever floats your boat, and a box of Kleenexes, and you shut your phone off for like 3-4 hours, you'll whip through it. It's an emotional roller coaster, like an emotional roller coaster. And then when we get to book three, it's going to be, like I said earlier, the fairy tale happy ending, but from like a completely opposite, sideways, different perspective. So yeah, like super female empowering and independence and like love conquers all, but yet sick, twisted, and sarcastic.
That sounds like the best.
it sounds, yeah. Awesome. It really does. We've had a couple more comments pop up here. Here's one from Gordy.
Hey, Sleep on a Beat is a great read. Thanks, Gordy.
Catherine, you're getting a lot of love here.
Hey, yeah, that's you awesome. Are. Hey.
And I'm not sure who this is, but he says hi.
Hi.
Hi. Well, it's really been fun chatting with you guys. You know, this show is a show that when we first started, we tried to have, you know, topics and talking points and stuff like that, but we found that it was just so much more fun to just to chat with people and get to know them and let people who might be our readers get to know us too, which is really cool. And so it's been good. And I encourage you guys, and I'm not selling anything because this is completely free. I have another podcast that's anywhere you might want to see a podcast. If you just go to www.theravenpodcast.com, Catherine has an interview on there, as well as a reading from one of her stories. And Miranda will be on the show in a few months here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Live show. And there's all sorts of cool authors. Some of them have been on this show. So if you guys like podcasts and you love, you know, listen to stories from cool authors, check that out. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in to Spilling. And this is me and my co-host, Leah.
Sugar face.
Bye.